You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
For free. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for episode 11 of Survivor 41. My name is Mike Bloom. I know you're given the choice to listen or die. Frankly, for many reasons, I'm very grateful that you listened, especially to the B&B. We have another fun group assembled to talk through the anti-penultimate episode of Survivor 41. First, let me welcome in someone who has been sitting Liana Shiva for the past 5 days, Liana Boris. Liana, here we are in a post-Liana Survivor 41 world.
Yeah, look, I know all of us equally are struggling. It is tough. Look, I had high hopes for Liana, but in the back of my mind, I knew this day was coming unless she was ultimately the winner. So here we are, and I'm just happy to have two fabulous people to grieve with together.
Mm-hmm. Let me also know you did not have Liana as the winner. So just
okay. Well, you know, spreading the wealth. All right, just covering my bases.
Just not all the wealth. You know, like a nice proportion of wealth. Well, we feel wealthy to be joined by this guy. You know, we were ruminating before we came on here and started pressing record. And let me talk about what has happened to this guy since the last time that we recorded. He has started a TikTok, you know, stream for the ages, now bordering on like 700. Of them on a daily basis. He is now a published author. Frankly, you know, we were so happy to be in his presence last time, even more so now that we are talking with, of course, the great Dave Jorgensen, aka Washington Post TikTok guy, and the other like significant nicknames from many major cable news networks. Dave,
I'll have to work on that, but I just want you to intro me to every Zoom meeting I have now for forever. A few weeks ago, I had to be part of like this huge editorial meeting for like a very important story, you know, and that we were going to make a TikTok about. That was going to be a serious TikTok. And then I showed up and everyone just started laughing.
Oh, no.
On the Zoom, no. Like in a funny like Zoom call, like here I am. It was also because I was like on the way to do an errand and they changed the time of it. So I was in the car. I looked like someone's Facebook avatar, and I'm like holding at the driving, and everyone just started laughing. I'm like, I don't know if this is good or bad that when people see me at my place of work, they just immediately want to laugh. So anyway, I'm going to record the intro you just gave and put it up there. And thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited. And as I said, time is I don't know what time it is, but or day, but it's just like yesterday we were talking.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we're talking about an accelerated time frame in the case of Survivor 41, very relatable here. We're literally smashing time. Deshaun wished that he could turn back time in the beginning of this episode. So time really is of the matter. So, Dave, that being said, like you said, has been forever and a day, or maybe just a day, depending on how you look at it, that we last spoke. But we are talking about a very different season of Survivor for many reasons. So, you know, we'll certainly distill things through this past episode in all of its beautiful, you know, aspects and also strange aspects and also beautifully strange aspects. But so far, you know, as we're sort of closing out Survivor 41, reaching the end game, what have been your thoughts about the new era, considering everything that's come before it?
I think beautifully strange is the right phrase. And I lean towards beautiful. I really have loved it. I mean, I think there's definitely that, you know, that self-awareness that like we didn't have Survivor for a year. So I'm just excited about that. That's there. But also what I always care about most in any season, whether it's all winners or all returnees or, you know, some weird combination of people pretending to be favorites and fans, is that the cast has to make it good. And this is like one of the best casts we've had. I think since David versus Goliath came out on Netflix, people remembered that cast was really good. And I think that's what made that season, not the theme, not because, you know, Jeff read Malcolm Gladwell and was like, that's what we're doing. So I really like, I just think the cast makes the season, whether or not you don't like the twist or not. And there are a lot of twists I don't like. It's fun, as Mike White would say. And I'm having fun watching it. And it's certainly strange at times. I don't like Jeff looking at the camera at all. It makes me feel weird.
Because now it has gone from something nifty and fun to, and I saw this posted on Twitter, now when he does it, we're afraid. Right, Liana? Yes. Because it means that like something different is going to happen. And frankly,
Jeff PTSD.
The streak that we're on at the moment is not a fantastic track record for that.
It's like, oh God, no. And especially this episode in particular was just that to a T. As soon as Jeff was like, and we're about to do something we've never done. No, God, please stop. Just stop. I think the peak of this was the hiding of the clue under the bench. That, yes. Totally happy with. Every other instance of it has been something that has caused me trauma.
Yeah, I have that shared trauma as well. I do think this latest twist, I would put it above the hourglass and below, like, Jeff showing us where, which isn't really a new twist, him hiding it, but him hiding it was new. Anyway, I liked it as a one-off. Like, I'm okay if we don't go back to it. I think I do agree with some people that it helps when he tells you the result of the twist ahead of time. And he almost did, in the sense that like there's a chance you'd be out. But he didn't say it was like a 66 or 33% chance, depending on how you look at the problem. And so I don't know. I didn't love it, but I was fine with it if it's just the one time. But I have a feeling it's not.
Well, so that's the thing. Here's the big question I want to throw out, because obviously the do or die twist is one of the big things to take away from this episode. Mm-hmm. What do you think production wanted? Do you think they wanted Deshaun to go, or do you think they wanted him to stay?
I think I even heard Rob asking this too, and want to know it all, whatever. I don't know. And I think Rob thought they wanted him to go. I think they wanted him to stay, but I think they wanted him to do the Monty Hall problem correctly to stay. I think they really wanted someone who was going to be rewarded for knowing, for having read whatever game theory book Jeff read preseason. And I think they wanted someone to do that, to be the hero of knowing about this, whatever, this mathematical equation.
Well, that reminds me of when Evie got praise for studying the puzzle, right?
That's
exactly. Very much feels similar to that. I think that when initially I saw that it was 33%, I was like, oh, they want him gone. Like, they want someone to be cut. And then once it was the Monty Hall problem, I was like, oh, okay, now the probabilities change based on this. So then, yeah, I think I feel very similarly to Dave, and that they wanted him to stay, but wanted them to, you know, you got to be smart about it, right? Because they still want their players to like know the game. Know the ins and outs of the math.
It's tough, because the fact of the matter is, as much as we might dislike opportunities for contestants to leave when they're not voted out, it seems like production loves it. Jeff Probst is very on the record about how much he enjoyed Advantage Geddon as a moment for Suri. And so I do wonder if it's more about producing for that, if the weight of the headline of like, you know, Deshaun puts his life on the line and fails, does that outweigh possibly the dramatics of like, oh my God, he picked the safe one. I mean, I guess in that capacity, they were win-win either way, because it did produce a dramatic moment. But at the same time, you know, part of me thinks, is this sort of, you know, they've taken a lot of things from Australian Survivor in terms of editing, right, storytelling, casting. Is this one of those things of like, oh, isn't it fun that for this one round, this one person left because they weren't voted off, but because they dropped out first in the immunity challenge and then picked the wrong box?
I do think, okay, I still lean what I said. I think I really think Jeff wanted them to, like, they wanted someone like Xander, who immediately goes, that's the Monty Hall problem. I think they wanted someone to be like, but I also think the problem with so many of these twists is, from my perspective as a viewer, and now that we've had so many, we have like a sample set here, it seems like they're really not thinking that far ahead from the twist. They're like, this will be really fun for this episode, but no one in production seems to be standing up and going, what about long-term? Like, what's the effect of this? you know, there's no one. I just feel like Jeff talks about this whiteboard and it's just like a bunch of people nodding their heads behind him without anyone going, that seems crazy what you've just drawn.
Like, you know? Sure, let's go for it. I think one thing to keep in mind also is the fact that they had a choice of whether or not they wanted to play, because ultimately I like there's something just so that makes my skin crawl about just the whole Deshaun picking a box and going home because he chose the wrong box. Like, that hurts. But when I consider the fact that, well, technically he had the opportunity to choose whether or not he wanted to play. So, you know, then that at least lessens how terrible I think the twist is, because I like it when players are given a choice and you're essentially weighing, again, the probability of whether or not you think that you have a chance. And we hear Liana talk about it at Tribal Council. She's like, look, I know the probability of Liana doing well in immunity challenges is not great. So I'm not willing to risk that. And I think that that's something that at least, yeah, like I said, makes a little bit easier to stomach.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the execution of it, I think, was all right. I think something that I at least did not initially get until it was hammered in multiple times back at campus, I didn't realize that the do or die, if you won it, you were immune, I guess is good because it does prevent sort of like a revolving door situation, right? Of, okay, well, Deshaun will do this, and if he's safe, then we're just going to vote him out anyway. Right. But it does also bring up this kind of odd thing to chew on of, okay, I guess he sort of accidentally became immune, right? Like, think about it. Deshaun earned immunity by being the first one to drop out of the challenge and by picking a right box.
Yeah.
He is now won immunity. It's so weird to think about. But again, I guess that's Survivor this season, as Xander described.
You got to outrun the monster, whether or not you're failing or succeeding. I wondered, too, and I doubt it, but I thought maybe Deshaun thought of, like, that was in his head that, you know, the only thing to save Danny and me, my strongest alliance, is if both of us somehow get immunity. But I don't know if he thought of that in the 20 seconds they had to turn a rock in their hand. Probably not.
Or the 20 seconds that he lasted in the challenge before he dropped
No, I think it was 4 seconds. It was like,
it was immediate.
Now I'm just thinking back to, like, Crystal Cox would have died multiple times if they brought this up in Survivor Gabon, right? Like, would have been the first out every time, would have been drawing multiple. She would have, like, known exactly which box is which because she did it so many times. But this is all, like, firmly ensconced in, as you said, Dave, like, what saves this episode. And it was a weird episode, in my opinion, because then we have, like, this beautiful conversation about race that's organically brought up by the contestants, gives multiple viewpoints, and then literally a 3-second pause, they're like, all right, well, Deshaun, go pick your magic box. And it's like, oh, right. Oh, yeah. We're doing that.
It was like the tonal shifts were just so made my stomach queasy, because it was like the setup for everything that, like, well, the vote may not really matter. And, like, why are we scheming? Why do we bother? A beautiful discussion at Tribal Council. And then, yeah, Mike, like you said, the magic box. Like, okay, I can't handle this right now.
It was, man. So I had a very personal reaction to this, in the sense that this reminded me so much of basically around the last time we spoke, where, you know, there was a lot, especially that led to having a more diverse cast. But with the death of George Floyd, we had to start making serious TikToks. And I knew we should. I wasn't like, we can't make jokes about this. But then every other TikTok, I was still doing the funny TikToks about COVID. And I was just like, I don't know how to maintain. And so I was watching this episode like, yeah, that's been my life for the last 2 years.
Very relatable, right? Just like flipping a switch on and off. And you really, you don't know what is light and what is dark anymore, because your eyes have just been continually dilating and constricting.
That's what I'm saying. When Liana, I think Deshaun and Danny, maybe to some extent, all said, like, you know, this is what real life is, and Survivor is a reflection of that this is the microcosm. I was like, of course. And even when they made that shift, I'm like, it's even more like life. It's like you just kind of have these serious conversations, and the next day you're like, okay, we had to play this game with the magical box.
Yeah, I love that parallel between your job essentially and the tonal shifts.
If any Super Survivor fan, I was most prepared for this weird tonal shift.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, obviously I think that it's super important to have the discussions. I've seen, you know, some conversations online about incorporating going the extra level. So taking one extra step further. So, you know, we had the opportunity for the 4 black players, or I guess 3, because Shan's been voted out, to, you know, talk about their story and talk about their experiences. And then, you know, the 2 people that Jeff calls on, are Xander and Heather, who apparently Heather just found out that, like, this is a problem. Like, Heather, what?
Again, this goes back to our continual theory, Liana, that she's not a real person.
Yes.
Like, this is clearly a character who has been brought about of, like, racism. I didn't even know how to pronounce that word.
She was actually written up on Jeff's whiteboard, and then she just came to life.
I know. Honestly, I would not be surprised. Well, what happens is they reach the final three, and it's like Heather and Deshaun and Ricard, and Jeff's like, the biggest twist of it all. Will the mole please step forward? And like Heather steps forward, and then it's like, all right, now it's a surprise final two because Heather succeeded in her goal of you know, moling her way to the end game.
She was Secret America's player all along.
Right. Who was the host of the original mole? Is it Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper
also steps forward and like, we've been co-hosting this whole season. There's a flashback. Yeah. Or Anderson.
I was the one that came up with all these kooky ideas.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. And then the mole edit airs on Paramount Plus. Like, this is a genius idea. Like, they've been, you know, filming it the whole time.
Yeah, I'm into it. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so yes, absolutely valuable. I think then to take the next step is then to, you know, be able to go to some of the other players who do fall under different minority groups. So it would have been great to hear Ricard's or Erica's. And so I think that, you know, going to them also is valuable. So I'm absolutely super happy about the discussion that happened. It's just talking about then elevating it to the next level because, you know, like the model minority myth still exists and still is something that's like so entrenched in our culture. And so it's like, okay, so now let's start addressing more and more things. And I think that this is a perfect opportunity to do so. Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. It was something that I really took away. Like, besides, you know, I think just the beauty and the conversations that they were able to have, and Liana especially, God, you could not think of, not necessarily from a strategic perspective, but like, talk about going out swinging almost in a thematic way, right? To be like, I know I'm going out, but I made this huge statement about like what I represent and what all this representation means. It really is, I think, her legacy on the show is going to be that. And I think she vocalized something incredibly well for someone her age as well. Mm-hmm. We talked about this with JD, but like, remember that she's 20 years old and think about yourself at 20 years old and think about the fact that she had to step up there and say that in a way that she did is just really astounding in so many ways. But I will say that, yeah, I think on that note, I think it was odd that we heard from literally every single active player except those two. And not to say that we should necessarily like take that away being like, you know, obviously the plights of the Black population is something that has become very prominent in the past year. But, you know, what they were saying about being, you know, otherized for being only one or two Black people on the season applies to this season, right? Like Erica was only one of two Asian women on this season. Ricard is the only Latinx person in general on this season. And so it's almost like, you know, they are beginning to experience a bit of what other types of players like Black players have been experiencing previously. And to sort of get their thoughts on that idea of representation, I thought, while I understood the choice given the spotlight and sort of the tone of the conversation, you got to imagine they said something. And it was odd to me that we got, of course, the sort of like straw man, for lack of a better term, white person argument, right? Of like, I didn't realize this was the case, or like, I didn't exist
until this season.
Yeah, I carried a certain amount of privilege. But to also hear from some, especially when they're talking about the diversity of the cast, I do feel like not being able to hear from some of those other diverse cast members was a bit of a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. Just from, you know, I don't know if I've said this before, but like my job within, and sorry to keep bringing my job, this is how I relate to survivors.
You are such a survivor contestant, even though you've never been on, Dave. It's like, you're like a TikTok guy.
Yes! As a TikToker.
Lower Chiron, yes. former Viner. Anyway, no, but video editing is what I do first. And so when I'm watching this, I always think about it, especially Tribal Council, because I would say like starting around... I would say around the time I went HD, so like 16, 17, maybe Fan First Favorites even, like they started doing these isolated shots on players, whatever you want to call them. And that allows for easy cutaways. So when someone's saying you can break up their dialogue, you can do all kinds of different things. And I did notice that at times they would have these cutaways that were, you know, sort of close-ups on Erica or Ricard, and they were just listening. And I think that's, you know, I think it's good that they acknowledge that. But I thought, like, if I'm in the editing bay and I'm having these reaction shots, I'm probably thinking exactly what you're talking about, Mike, is like, do we have footage of them talking about this too. And I just thought it was so strange to sort of like show them listening and then not give them the chance to talk, especially in certain moments. It just felt like, I felt like the editors were doing their best to make the most out of it. And so while I do think there must be something that they responded to, I'm not sure. I part of me wondered if Jeff didn't call on them. I hope that's not the case, but I was just like, it's so weird that they're showing them listening without them talking. That's the only way I can put it. And I don't know. I think everyone kind of had that feeling watching it. But again, not to take away from this very important conversation about being a black person in America, I think that is the most important. That is the takeaway of that. And I don't want to like take away from that, so to speak. But I just, I do understand the sort of like, why aren't we making, as you said, Liana, why are we elevating this conversation further?
Well, that's what I wonder, if that from an editing perspective, like if they felt like it would have been too complicated to include too many narratives. And so they wanted to sort of keep it a little bit simpler, especially with Liana. So the fact that Liana had the wherewithal, well, maybe it's a bad thing that she has to call out the haters online.
Read it by the throat in the like, future. Incredible.
Right. Like, I loved it all.
My God. Like, talk about being a psychic. Maybe she didn't see certain things in the game, but at least she saw what the Survivor Facebook page was going to look like in 6 months.
Outstanding. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. But like, those seeds have been there. So like, she knows that that kind of feeling is out there, which is unfortunate. So in an ideal world, obviously she would never have to, you know, say those types of things. But the fact that she went ahead and did that, I was like, yes, girl, preach. I appreciate this, especially as someone who, you know, really knows the casuals and like gets up in that Facebook page. I really appreciated her saying
what is it about Liana's casuals?
I don't know.
Just a natural relationship. I agree. I loved her being able to set up that straw man, right? Of like, you might come in and essentially do like the Survivor equivalent of shut up and dribble, right? Of like, this is a reality show. Why are you bringing this in? And it's like, well, let us have these conversations, right? Like it bears weight, just like it bears weight in literally every single thing I do as a black woman. I just could not get enough of that conversation. And just again, how natural it seemed. Like, I think we talk a lot in Survivor 41, especially about how almost like squeaky clean some things feel, of like, especially how Jeff tries to sort of maybe negotiate narratives, especially in the way he asks pointed questions. But like, it came from Deshaun getting emotional, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was facing down elimination, and then he sort of brings up what happened with the whole kerfuffle, all the stuff that happened in response to the Shan blindside. And then he really vocalizes the conflict that he talked about last week, and then everyone else is able to chime in. And I really love that as well. As Liana said, you know, this shows, and the cookout vocalized this as well in Big Brother 23, having multiple representatives shows that there is not like a one size fits all personality for any ethnicity. And the fact that all three of them, even all three black players, had like different responses and different things to say about the matter as well, I think is just, you know, really indicative of that. Even without having to underline it, circle it three times and highlight it in the way that we might think Jeff would do, you know, with maybe a different type of conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One other thing before I forget too is, you know, this idea that why would you bring in the real world Survivor? The other layer of it that makes that argument so ridiculous, that why wouldn't you, is this has been happening since season one, you know, and whether or not those conversations maybe didn't have as much tact, but you know, at the time people were talking about Richard and Rudy, how could they be how could mm-hmm. someone like Rudy be friends with Richard? And like, people didn't even have a full understanding of their gay friend. There was just so much there that was happening in 2000, and that it's not the same conversation, but that's what people are talking about now. So I think this idea that Survivor never did this until now is insane, because that's always been the show, that it is a microcosm. So I appreciate Liana, you know, pointing that out as well, while she grabbed Reddit and Facebook and said, I know what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah. Well, and look, clearly there, you know, so if some people are able to walk away from the episode learning something, like, you know, the Heathers of the world, the figments of Jeff's imagination, you know, then I think that's something that's valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also encourage people to obviously check out the conversation going on. You know, I don't know if people know this, but with the Purple Pants podcast every week, Bryce has now sort of like transitioned into weekly Survivor podcasts with Wendell, with Jack from The Circle season 2. And of course, they had some really great thoughts about, you know, that conversation as well, considering that this is coming from two previous black players of Survivor. So if you want people's thoughts about it that are not from three white people, understandably so, be sure to check that out.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But now I'm going to pull a Jeff Probst and completely segue the conversation into something else entirely different. There's still Liana focused. Let's talk about how we thought she was going to do preseason. Liana, if I recall correctly, you did indeed pick her for your draft team. She was not your first pick, but you still wanted to keep it in the brand, as it were. So that being said, how does that correspond to how you thought Liana would do preseason?
All right, look.
Oh, boy.
Whenever someone starts with, all right, look.
Yeah. Yeah, when you start with, like, a defensive argument ahead of time to no one in particular.
Was this the most accurate? No. But was I the most optimistic? Yes. So here's what I had for Liana. I said she would make the jury. But I said, this is the actual content. All right. So obviously the best player out there. She's just so amazing at all elements of the game. Obviously. Everyone just loves her so much. Obviously. She would win every immunity because this season there's a twist where there's two winners of immunity this season. So Liana wins all of them. And then, of course, someone else. The only reason she leaves the game is because of the worst twist ever, ever, ever in Survivor history ever, aka the immunity necklace nullifier bracelet. Her allies were everyone and her enemies were no one slash production.
Wow. Interesting. Talk about, you know, make it, dream it, do it.
Yeah.
Listen, you were actually so far in the opposite direction when it comes to the immunity challenge specifically that it kind of looped around to being right, right? Because, like, we've had the opposite. I saw this fact that last week was the only time so far this season that in the post-merge, everyone has competed in an individual immunity challenge. Here's my hot take. I'm not actually mad at that because if we're doing the same stupid hold on to something or stand in one spot challenges, I don't want to see 12 people do that, then 11 people do that, then 10 people do it. Throw in some additional, you know, things into the works. I am actually not that mad at the fact that we have only had one time when every single person has competed in an immunity challenge.
Yeah. I was just optimistic, you know.
Oh, boy.
I was not that optimistic about Liana, but I was high up there. I definitely said to friends at one point, I think Liana could win preseason. So I was in that boat of like, she has the tools. I do think that if she were to return, even just 5 years from now or something, she'd be much better prepared in a lot of ways. She's obviously very smart and very well spoken. That's all clear. But I just think that every so often she was sort of playing the game to play the game versus playing the game strategically, which I'm sure she understands. I'm positive she understands the game well enough to make really good strategic decisions, but it was just kind of everything all at once.
That's the thing. And obviously, you know, everyone's the hero of their own narrative, but I got to say, I really enjoyed talking to everyone from this cast, but getting to talk with her this week in my exit interview was really interesting because I do think, maybe with the exception of this episode, I do feel like they kind of painted her with only a couple of shades, you know, especially around the Xander stuff. which she went into a little bit more of elaboration with me and other people, obviously, about how it wasn't necessarily hating his face or harboring this candle of a romance for him, but it was this idea that, you know, going all the way back to the first few days when he finds this idol, that apparently he told everyone but insisted that nobody tell her, and mm-hmm. so she began to realize that he was not necessarily someone who would be viable for her game. On top of that, she constantly felt like he was going to be a big threat, that he was someone that needed to be taken out, and so it just ended up, I think, manifesting in this odd rivalry that I think even she would say was not a rivalry because it made sense. I don't know if the sort of implications behind the world rivalry is that it doesn't make sense, but it seems like Liana had maybe more logic towards a lot of her actions than maybe the edit indicated. Now, again, this is all saying that obviously everyone has their own logic for doing something, even if it doesn't make sense to us. But I had a really great time talking with her so that she could actually vocalize that, besides like, I want to stick Xander's face into the fire and watch the coals singe his eyebrows off.
We've all been there. Yeah, I do think at that merge episode, too, if she pulls off that, you know, that blind side, we're having a very different conversation. Even if she's voted out the same week, like we're all having a much different conversation now, because that would have looked great. And they just were a step ahead of her. But, you know, that'd be my biggest fear in playing Survivor is I would definitely be the hero of my own story. And I could so easily just be, like when Liana at that moment, like, can I, what did she ask Xander for, the idol or whatever? I was like, yeah, man, that's exactly how I would do it. And I would just live in fear of him being like, no, you have this piece of paper or whatever, this fake god or whatever it was. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think for her, the narrative wise, it really was that episode, Dave, the merge episode, where she was the one who was really sort of telling the story. But then it, because of the ultimate result, it ended up being in a haha, you're such an idiot kind of way. Whereas right. every other moment, it felt like she was sort of the secondary player. So whether or not it was to secondary to Shan or secondary to Evie or secondary to even Tiffany, like it just felt like we didn't really get to hear a lot from her perspective necessarily, except for in that one episode, which of course, you know, obviously we know the outcome of that. So yeah, Mike, no, it was great definitely to hear her side of the story coming out in these exit interviews
and in secret scenes.
Yeah.
No, that very much
the day of. Yeah.
Oh man.
So here's my side, I guess, of her side of this story. So obviously I don't think I went in the direction you did, Liana. So I did have her going out pre-jury. I think I talked about this
before.
That I had
rude.
Well, I had predicted sort of like a big Yasa purge pre-jury of like mm-hmm. them losing basically what happened to Ua this season, where they lose like 4 or 5 immunity challenges or something. So I said that despite playing with her cards close to her vest, her youth and perceived innocence makes her a key swing vote early on at Yasa. I said she would get an opportunity to go for an advantage, and then she comes clean about it. And even then, nobody believes her, which is interesting. Like her namesake, she says at one point, I'm here to play some games.
Yeah!
It's in the Liana bloodstream.
What?
I don't know.
She literally wrote, it's in the Liana bloodstream! Exclamation point. I don't know what that means.
Why our bloodstream? Like, it's in our blood.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I specifically said in the bloodstream.
Gaming streams through you both.
And then I said, let's see, accidentally manifesting it in her preseason press, Voce falsely claims that she was throwing someone's name out there, which causes her to get erroneously targeted and booted. I guess I'm trying to remember back. Yeah, I think she said that with me in the preseason that she feared that if you talk to too many people, right, that it's like, almost like what happened with Shan of like, oh, Liana threw my name out there. Okay, I guess I better go after her. And so I guess I had said that ironically enough, the exact same thing happens to her. I said her closest ally would be Evie and her enemy would be Voce. Remember Voce? Mm-hmm. That was like 2.5 months ago. A lot of people are talking this week about like, remember the pre-merge?
Well, Voce lives on with his t-shirt. I don't know if you saw that. So
yes.
At least, yeah. At
the
least
sisterhood
you have that.
Of the traveling
Voce
t-shirt. Yeah.
I hope if they do another Ghost Island, his shirt's just hanging there like on a clothesline.
It's matured on Ghost Island.
Yes, it's become a sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or just become like really baggy at this point that like anybody can wear. Because I can only assume how like stretched out it's gotten by all the people that have been wearing it over the course of how like 3 weeks on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. So, Dave, you're the arbiter of our fates at this point. Who is to do and who is going to die? Who had the better thoughts on Liana? Who has the better? Who's tapped into the bloodstream?
Well, I'm going to go with the other Liana. I think that they were tapped in. You're not completely wrong about her. Like, there is a version. There is like another Loki verse where she gets to the end based off it. Whereas with what Mike said, I feel like you get so specific, Mike, that whenever you're right, it's just going to be like you're an absolute genius.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
A broken clock is right twice a day. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm curious if there's anyone left in the season that you could still be completely correct about.
Maybe.
Well, there you go. So in this case, Liana, I'm going to go with her, but that's also because I want to will Liana to a return season.
I like to believe that in the alternate non-smashed hourglass timeline, that was my prediction. Okay. Mike is wrong regardless because she did not go pre-jury. Now, I could have been exactly 100% correct if Erica had not smashed the hourglass. So that's all I'm saying.
Let's think about that, though, because so in that case, right, because then the people that's vulnerable includes Liana, includes Xander. Safe to say she probably tries the same thing, right?
But I think it would work in this case. Because
unless, it's that thing where he gives the idol to Tiffany and Tiffany plays it on him. Otherwise, and Erica, either like Xander or Erica would probably be that boot at 12. Mm-hmm. And I think Liana has a very different game from there on out because those were two people. I mean, Erica was the one that held her fate in her hands.
Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Wow. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe the hourglass is the best twist. I don't know. I'll think more on this.
Smash all the things. All right. So while you're considering that, let's think about something else. So, Dave, last time you were on with us, we compared Survivor players to Disney princesses. So now we're going to travel down that road once again. But this time we're talking board games. So this is inspired by the do or die twist, I suppose. So we are going to be comparing Survivors to classic board games. We have put out a survey to the audience to have them pick which player they think matches which board game. So sort of like if they were to take a BuzzFeed quiz, what board game are you? What board game would come up in the responses?
Which I'm sure exists.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah, I'm sure. Right.
There's probably a which Liana quiz are you as well.
That's the thing. I think like now we have aggressively gotten to a point where I think any person, place, or thing in the universe now has a BuzzFeed quiz about it, or like serves as an answer to a BuzzFeed quiz. That's probably like the rule 42 almost, or whatever the rule number is. But the cleaner version, there's a BuzzFeed version.
The BuzzFeed version. Yeah, I like that. And then there's a porn of that. So then it like comes full circle. So it all makes sense.
BuzzFeed.
No comment, but I agree.
Not but. Oh, my God. Okay, moving on. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to guess what the audience thought first. And then I don't know how we want to do the points. How about if you get someone that's in the top three, you will get either 1, 2, or 3 points, but it'll be reverse, right? So you get 3 points if you get the top answer, 2 for the second answer, and 1 the third answer. And we'll go back and forth. We'll give
you
both.
The only way I have a chance.
Well, we'll give you both an opportunity to guess as well. So all the opportunities to collect some points here. So let's go ahead and start things off with Mike. So Mike, we're talking Candyland. What player do you think the audience thought most represented the game Candyland? Now, this includes every single, so all 18 players from the season.
Okay.
So keep that in mind.
Okay, interesting. So Candyland, let's get like super in depth on this. So Candyland is probably one of the more random games, I would say, on the slate that you put out there, right? Because it literally is picking up a card and whatever color is on that card, you have to jump to that color. So like there is no skill involved. Mm-hmm. There is no sort of tact. It literally is just pick a card and jump to it. So like, do you go with Deshaun because he did something random and picked a random thing? Do you go with someone like Xander, who is like almost some people theorize it's almost like gotten there through like random draws and being able to just sort of slip on by. Okay, I'm trying to think. You know what? I'm going to go with Heather because purple is a color and colors are associated with Candyland.
That yeah, that logic does make sense, Mike. Heather was actually the top choice, so what? That's 3 points. That yeah, makes,
yeah, that checks out.
Yeah.
I still get to guess for 2 points. Is that
yeah?
Right?
Or, you can guess okay. for either two. Yeah, so you'll yeah. If you get either the second or third, then you can get two or 1 points.
Okay, so first of all, let me say I had the same logic as Mike, and it's crazy that you like. I was not consulted for this particular game, but board games are my obsession.
Amazing!
I mean, way up there with Survivor. So I was very happy, and yeah, great. We'll pretend.
Yeah, that was on purpose. Yeah, we knew. Yeah, that.
I know you're a big board game fanatic.
I smashed an hourglass and went back in time and just whispered board games. So that said, Candyland is like my least favorite because it's entirely a chance. Even when I was seven, I was like, "This is dumb. Let's play Monopoly." So I hate Candyland for the reasons that Mike said we'd pick Heather, which is that all chance. I don't hate this person, but it's my second pick in this. It would be Nasir, just because I felt like Nasir is kind of this pure, wholesome character existing on the board. And I don't know that we really saw strategy from him. So that would be, I think I'm wrong, though. Your reaction is zero.
Well, you get 1 point. So Nasir was in that. Nasir was actually tied with Brad. That third place.
Oh, is that why he couldn't talk about broccoli? Because he was so concentrated on candy.
Right.
I feel like Brad would be one of the, like, I could easily see him, the drawn characters on the board. Like he, like the lollipop holding up with his like hair.
Broccoli tree equivalent in Candyland, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a forest?
There was Candyland? I think it was a candy cane forest. Yeah.
Oh, candy cane forest. Okay. Maybe that works.
Skinny like a candy cane and forest. Yeah. There it is.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yep.
Well, the second place answer was JD, actually.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. That one was actually pretty surprising to me initially. Like, first thought was Xander.
It makes sense, though, because, like, don't you remember when he's throwing up the sandbags and he goes, candy? Money. And he just kept missing every time?
Should have yelled tribal instead.
One of the best all-time lines, I think, not just from this season, but should have yelled tribal was so good. I actually see JD. That's kind of the similar reasons where, like, I mean, he certainly attempted a lot of different things, but it did feel like he was out of his league. On his tribe.
I like that as a compliment, a backwards compliment of like, you attempted a lot of different things, and he's for that you should be proud. Yes.
Let me say, though, JD is someone that I'm sure I would love in real life. I want to just throw that added compliment on top of the
back. No, I just love Dave taking the anti-Yoda approach, right? Like, no, there is try. It's not do or do not.
Yeah.
Right.
Try is all that matters.
That's what I do every day.
Okay, let's move on to our next game. And Dave, we're going to go to you first. Let's talk about Sorry. What player on this season do you think the audience best represented Sorry?
Okay, so I was initially going to pick Erica for the reasons of, like, I don't know, just a quick turnaround. Sorry, I smashed the hourglass kind of situation. But that seems a little too in the weeds. And then I read the box that's on the, you know, Google survey, and it says sweet revenge. So I felt like, God, now even saying it out loud, I'm not sure, but I just said Ricard. I'm Ricard. I don't know if that's
okay,
right or not.
Ricard. So you get 1 point.
Oh, nice.
Ricard was actually tied with Erica. So you're like super tapped into third place. Right. You're like really good at that.
You're bronzing it right now.
It's only, I'm really trying for third. It's only a try for third. There's no do first.
Okay. So then in that case, I feel like if they're going along that line of thinking of like getting revenge or like making big moves, being sorry, I gotta think Shan is up there then, because she was one of the biggest players of the season.
You're probably right.
Yeah, so Mike's playing for first, apparently.
Try for third.
So that's all right.
I literally, as a joke, I always put emojis next to my like Twitter handle, or most of the time I do, and I had a third place bronze medal for a long time. Perhaps that was foreshadowing. Maybe
you manifested it, yeah.
I did, yes. Good for me.
And Deshaun was in the second place.
Right. So pretty much like the big players sort of got the points here for Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
It's interesting because I'm glad Dave went first, actually, because like my initial thoughts would have been to someone who got screwed over instead of who did the screwing. So I was actually very close to guessing Sydney as sort of like Sorry, as sort of like the recipient of it instead of the person giving it out.
I actually like that better as an argument, but go ahead.
I was thinking she's Canadian, so people would want
Sorry.
Shanna's also. So, okay, let's talk about chess. Mike, we're going back to you. What player do you think represents chess?
Oh, I think, this is tough because Xander sort of has this like pseudo intellectual temperament going on, but like, does it translate to gameplay? Like Xander would be someone unironically playing chess, probably in a game against himself. Like he has it set up in his dorm room and they're like, oh, you have a chess? He's like, yes, I'm playing against myself. I'm currently winning.
He definitely would walk up into a park too and just start playing someone or playing himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing I appreciate about this is it's a conversation starter. It's almost like we're all pieces on the board, just moving in our various L shapes. But I am going to say, I'm going to say Ricard. I think he's the most strategic one left. I think people compare that to a chess master, if you will. And so I think he's a safe answer here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So Mike continues his first place. Yeah, that was actually with 59.3% of the vote.
Wow.
We'll put Ricard, yeah, in that slot. All right, Dave.
Well,
you're gonna continue to play for third. Yeah, Shan.
Do I get second at least?
You get second place. You get second place. So you get 2 points there. That's great. Yeah.
What was third? Can I guess third now that I've
absolutely.
Thanks. Man. Well, now maybe Deshaun.
Deshaun was the fourth place slot. It was actually Voce. I don't know if that's like the neurosurgeon of it all.
That's exactly what it's the 16.66 repeating thing, right? Where it's like Jeff is the person to look at that Xander playing in the park, right? Be like, what? How does that work? How do you know how to do this?
Can you give me the number, the statistics on that? Yeah, Voce would have been great for the do or die Monty Hall problem. Okay, Dave, let's go back to you. Now, we're not talking about chess. We're playing checkers. What do think about the game checkers?
Okay, so I had like an immediate gut reaction to this, but I just assume I picked the third place person. But I said Brad, because I felt like Brad was excited. It was like he was playing checkers against people playing chess, and that was my impression of Brad. He was enthusiastically doing so, but now I don't think he was first. But
No, he was not. He didn't make the podium this time, unfortunately. Although, in your defense, this was very even across the board. So there were only a few people, essentially Ricard and Shan, that like got very low. Otherwise, it was pretty well spread. So, Mike, what do you think about this?
Yeah, so it's tough because I could see why that happened, because chess, I feel like, has such an association behind it, right? It's a brainy game. Checkers really isn't, right? It's just like a really easy game. Go diagonally, put another thing on top of the thing at the end. Now, I would say I'm going to go with
a king.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I would say maybe I'll go with Shan here. It's a safe answer, and people regard her as the queen of the game. And so that is that sort of king me move. So I'm just going to go with Shan and see if I know it's an even playing field.
I literally just said it was evenly spread except for Ricard and Shan. So
I wasn't going to tell you
why you chose Shan.
I definitely let Mike do that. As you were saying, I was like, I don't know if his audio cut out, but
yeah, we'll go with that. That is.
I thought you meant that it was very. I thought I had caught you that you had given it away that it was everyone except for Card and
Chad. Because they got the chess points. Why would they get the checkers points?
I don't know. Maybe because we're like, put Shan in for everyone.
Look,
we love Shan.
It's not a zero sum game. It's not like you have to match them and only pick one. So actually, this one, like I said, really well spread, pretty evenly spread. Danny and Deshaun tied in first place.
Okay.
Then Xander came in third. Okay. Or second, I guess. Yeah. Third, second, whatever. Then Heather. and then it was really tight between Liana, Nasir, JD were all up there in terms of percentages. So very close. But Danny and Deshaun took the lion's share here.
I think that makes sense. Like the thinking that Ricard and Shan were strategically above them, whereas this other group is maybe just less so.
Yeah, it's like the second string game.
Yeah.
Second tier.
You guys lost chess, go play checkers.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Mike, let's go back to you for the game Mousetrap.
Okay. So Mousetrap is a game. It's very much like a Rube Goldberg machine that you use to trap someone. I'm going to say Liana, because she's the trapper, right? We spoke about that. The move that she attempted to do to sort of trap Xander. It makes sense that she would try to do this. It was a plan that she had very much set in motion. She was trying to kick that marble down that weird staircase to have the cage fall down on him.
All right. So the checkers really threw you off. Liana is in fourth, tied in fourth with Nasir. Leaves the entire podium up for Dave to pick.
Okay. So, man, this is so important. I think based off of similar reasons what we were talking about, especially with that merge vote where Sydney essentially got trapped by a bunch of weird advantages and twists. So I think Sydney is our pick here.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting. I gotta find her little piece on the pie.
Reaction is not good.
Interesting.
Okay. That's a choice. Oh, no, actually, God. Dave, you should have gone with Brad. That was actually the top choice. So Brad with 17.4% of the vote. Then Shan, which I don't know if that's if that's because she got.
She did the whole thing right where she like got JD to give her the extra vote and then voted him out. Like, does that count as a bit of a mousetrap thing?
I guess we really have to think of the proactive player in these games, because it seems like that's what people are going versus the, you know, someone being trapped. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we were talking about sorry. You don't. It shouldn't be the recipient of sorry. It should be the person on the attack. Is that right?
Probably it was a bit half and half. Half, so 10.8% of people said Shan and 9.6% of people said JD. So I think really both logic applies.
Yeah, and the trapper and the trappy.
Right. You're right.
Okay, Dave, how about Chutes and Ladders?
Jeez. Okay, so Chutes and Ladders, another game essentially of just, I mean, for the most part, it's chance, luck. If I remember correctly, luck and chance. And you're going up and down. So my initial response, which is always wrong, especially with this game, is Xander, because I feel like he's just kind of going the direction of the game and doesn't necessarily have like a long term strategy.
Mm-hmm. Your first place, 3 points for Dave. Yes, Xander was the top choice. Excellent. And Mike, who do you think? Can you get second or third?
So from that logic, I'm going to continue on the Yasa turtle bandwagon. I'm going to go with Evie, because I think Evie climbed ladders, like got to a top position and then also fell down. And so I think like the underdog narrative is sort of a Chutes and Ladders type of atmosphere.
Evie was sixth overall.
Wow.
The second one was Deshaun and then Erica, which I thought was interesting.
They both sort of like they got in bad positions and then like got twists to help them.
Yeah, Erica's definitely had an up and down game and edit too, for that matter.
Yeah.
But in Mike's defense, I feel like if Evie's vote out episode had been this week, that would have been she would have been up there. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Oh. Okay, let's talk Monopoly. Mike, we're going back to you. Who do you think best represents Monopoly?
Yeah, I think this has got to be one of our old standards here. I'm going to go now. I guess my question is it going to be Ricard or Shan? Because I think Shan has played like the more, you know, get paid game. But Ricard, I think, is the more cutthroat one. And that's what Monopoly is sort of known for, right? Is like betraying your friends and family with your properties. So I'm going to say Ricard here.
Okay, interesting. So Ricard, I don't know what the rank is, but not high is the answer to that. Yeah, only 4.8% of people said Ricard. So that's 0 points for Mike. Dave, you can either tie or be beating Mike by one.
Amazing.
Depending on your answer. So
you should be in this position. Okay.
Right there.
All right, so I'm going to base this off of how I play Monopoly, which is whatever I land on, I buy immediately. The first however many rounds of the game. If I had the money, I buy it. Xander has played this entire season that way. If it's there, he'll take it. So I'm going off of Xander for that.
All right, that's 2 points. You are tied with Mike now. Wow.
Look, come back.
Game. Mike, Shan was first. You were so close.
Wait, so I don't understand why Shan is first and Ricard is sixth. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think
I'd like to podcast with the entire audience of who voted after this.
Explain. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think if you think about like, oh, the goal is Monopoly, the goal is to get as many things as possible. Shan got an idol, Shan got an extra vote.
I guess
Shan
that makes got sense, that. Yeah.
So whereas Ricard didn't have the ownership over that. So he didn't actually own the properties, you know, and Xander, similar logic, I assume. He got the extra vote, he got the idol, blah blah blah, all of that. So
where was Brad in all this? Maybe I'll give him too much. I just
where was Brad? This is a big question.
Brad, on the railroad. Where's he at?
2.4%. So very low. Very low.
Here's a big question. Has Jeannie finished anywhere above double digits for any one of these questions?
I do not think so.
Like, I think of all the players, unfortunately, like your Jeannies, your Abrahams, your Sarahs are always gonna be bottom third of the pack.
Yeah, I do not see her.
I couldn't tell you a thing about Abraham, by the way. I don't remember a single thing.
Yeah, let's see. One person thought Abraham was like Chutes and Ladders.
Okay.
Does that help?
did Abraham vote in this survey?
Yeah, it was him. He was like, this is how I gain relevance.
Yeah, yes. Every question was he voted for himself.
Right, exactly. Okay, Dave, let's go to you. Let's talk Settlers of Catan. So who do you think the audience selected?
Another all-time favorite board game for me.
Nice.
And I do feel like, especially in peak, you know, quarantine pandemic, there was a lot of Survivor Catan tournaments and stuff like that. And I feel like there's a pretty clear, the Venn diagram is mostly a circle with Survivor fans, Catan fans. But that... I kind of went back and forth on this. I'm just going to go with the gut, which is, you know, I'll go with the 33% chance gut and say Deshaun.
Okay, Deshaun. So Deshaun was in fifth.
Oh, not even close.
Overall.
I should not go with my gut. I should go with what I think the audience said. That's terrible. This is the second time.
To be fair, a lot of people said that Deshaun shouldn't have gone with his gut either, right? Because he stayed and everyone's like, no, you switch. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Deshaun's gut is very antithetical.
Right. And he's very, I mean, he is strategic minded. Like, I could see him as someone that would play Catan. Maybe that, I don't know. I want to hear what Mike says, though.
Okay.
Well, listen, I won't get fooled again. This is a game about collecting assets, right? You're collecting wool, you're collecting grain, and then you're subsequently using that to sort of like, you know, play against others. I think I got to go Shan here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shan, second place. So that gives you 2 points. Evie was the top choice here.
Wow. Stereotypical much. Glasses.
Evie, Shan, and then Nasir. So I don't know if that was like a collecting resources, right?
So
he's got a sheep. Oh, he's got his wheat.
He finds the food. Yeah, that's actually a good pick. I like
interesting.
That.
I wonder, is there a direct correlation between like Survivor providers and Catan skills?
I do not think so.
He's a knight. In some way, trying to think of other, yeah.
Okay, let's go to, we got two more here. How about Trivial Pursuit?
Okay, so Trivial Pursuit is all about knowledge. Mm-hmm. I think Evie has both Survivor knowledge and knowledge from a scholarly pursuit. I think Evie is a good safe choice here for me.
Yes, that is correct. With the pink slice of the Trivial Pursuit pie, Evie was the first place choice here. But Dave, second and third, still on the board for you.
I think I have to get second and then first just to tie Mike at this point. Is that right?
Let's see. Yes, that is correct.
You can do it, though.
I believe in you.
Oh, man. Knowledge. Okay, I should just go with knowledge is power. I was going to say JD. Just because he's obsessed with Survivor. And I thought like, big time Survivor fan. But I feel like people aren't thinking about JD that way. Knowledge of the game and how it's... I'm going to go with Ricard.
You should have gone with your... So JD was third. JD was third. It was actually Voce that came. Voce? I think, again, the neuroscience.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart. Like, oh, it's 100% smart. Okay.
Overly educated of it all.
I guess.
I'm just being overly educated translates to Trivial Pursuit.
It's a bunch of random facts. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a real like blight on academia, is it not? Of like, well, you have a degree, you know a bunch of random facts, you'll be great at this game.
I got to give Voce credit for having such a, you know, like I said, I don't remember Abraham, but apparently everyone remembers Voce. He's just in the Survivor consciousness.
Yeah, I think like his myth almost outlives him as a person. Like, I think by the end of this, people will regard him as one of the smartest people in the universe, just because of the two episodes he was on Survivor.
Well, he was such a big preseason player. Like, everyone was talking about him, you know, especially because of all of the preseason interviews and all of that. So I think that's maybe what stuck. It was more like the preseason version of Voce, not the actual on the season version of Voce.
But... Yeah, the wish.com version of Voce.
Yeah, right.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, Dave, let's close this out with Boggle. What do you think about Boggle?
I knew it was coming. Like, Boggle is like the game I played the least of all these. So it's just.
Am I the only person who like can't look at the word Boggle without thinking of the King of the Hill episode where Peggy plays Boggle and Hank Hill says Boggle? Really strangely.
I think you're the only person here.
Probably, yeah.
But it does boggle the mind what this person. Okay, I'm just going to go with, again, gut and say Nasir, because I feel like when he was searching for the phrase to unlock the idol, it was like trying to find the right words. So,
Nasir. Okay. Yeah, I like that logic. Unfortunately, that gets fourth.
Unfortunately, your logic is bad.
Like it, but don't love it. Mike, you've already technically won mathematically, but can you guess?
I'd have you won spiritually.
All right. Well, I guess the question is, like, is it up there with the other idol finders? Right? Can I go off the map and say everyone who did the Survivor game within a game? Because that's what, like, it's a form of wordplay, I suppose. You know what? Because I think people sort of associate Boggle with a little bit more of like a simpler mindset, I'm going to go with a perennial favorite in this game. Let me pick Brad and see where he places.
Ooh, fun.
So yeah, Brad was tied for third.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, it was Brad and Evie, which I don't. Maybe again, it's
smart
like,
words. Smart.
Right. Exactly. But actually, Heather. But I think that was more going off of the name Boggle, which just sounds boggled. I don't know. That's my interpretation. I didn't include a why did you select this open answer, which maybe I will next time. And then Tiffany was in second place.
Huh. Is that her first appearance on the podium?
Yeah, it is. And I had saved Battleship and Uno as tiebreakers just in case. The Battleship, I don't know if you guys want to take a guess, but I'll tell you what the audience said.
I was going to say it's either Shanna Ricard because it's like they were going head to head.
Yeah, like striking at other people, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Shan was the third place. Ricard was in fourth, tied with Xander. Huh. The first place person was actually Danny. And then Deshaun was in second. So,
Danny?
Yeah, Danny.
I like Danny, but I don't understand. Huh.
Like you've sunk my battleship. Like, is there something about?
Well, he probably looks the most likely to have been in that movie Battleship. If you remember the film version of Battleship,
Who could forget?
Yes, I'm sure that's what it was. All right, and then Uno was the other one that I had saved. Do you want to take a guess?
I would imagine that that's something like. Well, we talked about the reverse card actually last time. So like Erica might be, if they're doing that sort of A to C-ing, Erica might be up there.
Erica was in second. Yep. Good logic.
I'll go with Liana because she had a knowledge is power thing. Aww. And was going to try to reverse something. But oh, isn't that sweet?
Yay, Liana. Yeah, no, I don't think Liana showed up on any of these at the top. This was Xander, actually. It was Xander and then Sydney.
I guess she had the reverse card played on her, right? Like this idea of, oh, you were safe and now you're not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. All right, well, that was the game. Congrats, Mike, but Dave, you did quite well. And especially thank you to everyone who filled out the survey. Could not do it without you.
Yes, we love how much you associate word games with being smart.
Yes, right. I think we've learned something about all of us today.
Yeah.
All right, so let's continue with the games here. And we're bringing up a little bit of a favorite here on the B&B. But Dave, this is not something you have played before. Okay. We are doing The Price is Rourke, which is our version of The Price is Right. But we're doing a bit of a different game here this week on the B&B. So I took another Price is Right game, not just guessing the price, and I have adapted it for this situation. So look, we have three boxes. I decided to go along with this idea. Here's how it is going to work. We're going to go one at a time. Each one of you is going to get three Survivor items that are listed on eBay and three prices. You have to match the price to the object. Depending on how many you get right, you're going to get that many number of points. So either one or three. I don't think you get 2 points right when you, because by default, you will have either gotten only one of them right or all three of them right. Let's see how well you can match the prices. Special thanks to John. He sent a lot of these in. Three objects, three prices. See if you can match them up.
Okay. All right. I'd like to swap.
To another game?
No, I don't know. Just wanted to stick with the Monty Hall problem.
All right. Well, Liana, let's start with you then.
Okay.
So here are your three objects. Mm-hmm. And I will read them verbatim as they are titled in eBay.
No. Okay.
First, Survivor the Game 2003 Outwit Outplay Outlast New Sealed.
Is that the board game or the video game?
It is neither. So here's the thing. People might not remember there's a redheaded stepchild in this family of gingers that is the Survivor game franchise. Mm-hmm. There was a Survivor card game. Oh. Not like Trivial Pursuit, but essentially they boiled down the game of the board game into just a series of challenge cards that you would like pick up, do the thing on it. And I guess and there were also voting. I didn't play this game, but I guess there was voting included as well. This is the game that we're talking about.
Could you imagine if you vote someone out of a card game? You'd be like, we voted you out of hearts. Like
you know, what's wild.
Anymore.
That game works now. You have a handful of advantages. You could play it if they did Survivor 2021 card game.
Honestly, I have the knowledge of power card. I guess I'll play that one.
Exactly.
All right. Second item. Playboy, August 2003, Survivor, Jenna Maraska, Carney Wilson, Toby Maguire magazine. Now, unfortunately, Heidi Strobel has been unfortunately stricken egregiously so from the title of this, but this is indeed the Playboy issue in which Jenna and Heidi did pose for the centerfold after, of course, the whole peanut butter and chocolate thing in Survivor the Amazon. Last one, Survivor fan auction number one, Buff Mug, crew hat, and shot glasses -100% for charity in all caps. So this is a package that involves a fan buff, a crew hat, a mug to be donated to charity.
Okay. Okay.
So those are the three objects. It's Survivor the Game. It is the Playboy magazine, and it is the Survivor fan auction package. Okay. Your three prices are, and I'm putting this in the chat as well.
Oh, okay.
$3.74,
$44.95,
and $150.50.
Oh my gosh.
You have to match these three prices to the three items.
Okay, so I think I think I'm going to try to do the outliers first. I'm going to decide what I think is worth $150.50. okay, it's for charity. Do I feel like they would have upped the price for charity? Additionally, the Playboy, now obviously there's more people in that issue, so could there be additional value?
Is there a big Carter Wilson fan?
Exactly. Yes, thank you. So I think what I'm going to say is that the card game is $3.74.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that the... Oh my god, do I think the Playboy is worth $150? I'm gonna hope that the charity package is $150, and I'm gonna say Playboy is $44.95.
All right. So I will say you are correct. The Survivor fan auction basket is $150.50.
Okay.
Now
okay.
Let me give you the option.
Oh my gosh, Monty.
Do you want to switch these items?
Oh no. Wait. Oh,
so you
no.
currently have the game at $374 and you have the magazine at $44.95. Right now, knowing that that price of the fan basket was correct, do you want to switch those two prices?
Oh my gosh, this is incredible. No, this is obviously how Deshaun felt. Do I go with my gut or do I? Now, the thing is that you've revealed one that's correct. Where's Christian Hubicki when I need him to like help me with the math here? Okay, I'm just going to assume that it makes sense that for me to switch. So I'm going to switch.
And you were right to switch.
Yes. Wow. Boom. Okay. So, wow. 40, so it's only
$44.95 for Survivor the Game 2003, newly sealed. Probably up that price a little bit. And yes, $3.74. I mean, here's the thing. It's not signed in any regard. This dude's right. just selling loose back copies of Playboy. From, you know, nearly 20 years ago.
Actually, you get those for free in someone's attic. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Not,
so I think that $3.74 actually sounds fairly accurate. So yeah, Liana, you are you made a clean sweep in that first round with three.
Oh, that's stressful. Okay.
All right,
stressful,
Dave.
Stressful for
let's
me.
Let's go. All here's right. your next batch of three items.
Okay.
My Survivor TV show X Sierra Mist promotional bandana. Dead stock rare, free shipping. So this is a bandana of a Sierra Mist advert, sort of like buff-esque.
It's not a buff, though.
It's not a buff, it's a bandana.
Okay.
Second one, Survivor Pearl Islands credential pass for the season finale. So this is a document that outlines you are officially invited to the Survivor Pearl Islands finale and enlists all the details about where it is.
Okay.
Third one, 2004 Survivor All-Stars Outlast on-screen TV pennant and ticket to finale. So this is not only a finale ticket to the Madison Square Garden All-Stars finale, but also apparently one of the framed flags, like the Outlast flag that was on the polls during Survivor All-Stars.
During the season or during the finale? Okay.
During the season. So again, we have the Survivor Sierra Mist promotional bandana. We have the credential pass for the Survivor Pearl Islands finale. And we have the Outlast flag and the Survivor All-Stars finale ticket. Your three prices are $12 even, $29.95, and $399.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so, okay. Pennant, Sierra Mist, bandana.
And the Pearl Islands credentials to the finale.
Okay, so this is interesting. Those credentials, if it's what I think it is, I've had those for any kind of like the Super Bowl, but no one cares. Like no one wants that. So I mean, I'll make that one. Oh, God, but who cares about a Sierra Mist bandana?
$400 worth.
Yeah. Well, no. So let me say, I think the pennant, I think that's $400, $399. I think that the frame pendant, $399. I'll say the credentials are $12 and the Sierra Mist bandana, $29.95.
All right. So I will reveal indeed the pennant and All-Star ticket is $399. Would you like to switch?
Oh, Monty.
You currently have the credentials at $12 and you have the Sierra Mist bandana at $29.95. Would you like to switch that?
So this is last, as you were doing this, Liana, I was like, well, it's 100% chance, technically speaking, that I should switch, but not really. But how does science and math work anyway? Christian, okay. I'm just going to stick with it.
Unfortunately, you should have switched. So, yeah, not a lot of Sierra Mist fan here on eBay. Survivor Sierra Mist bandana is only $12, and the credential pass, which is literally a pamphlet describing where the finale is,
I don't get $30. I mean, like, I would personally find that interesting, but I wouldn't pay anything for it.
Yeah, if anything, Sierra Mist bandana at least
is weird and fun, you know? Like, it's like the Pringles can. Like, that's interesting. I'd rather, I don't know. Okay. Well, I did my best. Continue, Monty.
All right. Next up, Liana, let's talk buffs. Here are three Survivor buffs currently selling on eBay. Mm-hmm. We have, first, the Ghost Island La Vida Tribe Black Merge buff, the Merge Ooh. Tribe from Survivor Ghost Island.
Okay.
We have the Survivor Worlds Apart Messiah buff, that is the White Collar Tribe.
Okay.
And we have Survivor Thailand Season 5 Suk Jai Purple buff. So we have
all right.
the and Merge Tribe from Ghost Island.
Are any of them signed?
None of them are signed.
Are any of them new?
No.
They are all just used, but are they on their little placards? You know, I mean, how they like come on the little like
yes. So they are okay. all on their placards. I don't know if they've been used because you can very easily get them back on. You know, this is not like a permanently broken situation. So you have the Merge Tribe from Ghost Island, you have the White mm-hmm. Collar Tribe from World Apart, and you have Suk Jai from Survivor Thailand. Your three prices are $10.50.
Whoa,
$69.99. And $199.99.
What?
Wow. This is way harder than the
I'm
other ones.
I'm telling you, the buff market is wild on eBay in many ways.
Man, as volatile as Bitcoin.
I'm waiting for Elon Musk to say something about them.
Yeah,
the
invest
price
in buff coin.
Change.
Yeah.
Okay, so which one do I think someone would pay almost $200 for? I think that's really the question. Because I will say, I've seen a lot of Survivor Thailand. Like, there's that Survivor Thailand paperweight that seems to, like, for some reason
yeah, you
always
love that one,
be,
yeah.
Yeah, I love that one. It's always showing up. So for me, I feel like, well, if Survivor Thailand products are just, like, around, but then do I really think someone would be willing to pay $70 for a Worlds Apart buff? That seems wild to me. Okay, I'm going to assume that there is some recency bias here. So I'm actually going to say that I'm going to say Thailand is $10.50. I'm going to say Worlds Apart is $70. And I'm going to say that the Ghost Island Merge buff is $200.
So you are correct on the Ghost Island Merge buff. That is $200. Now, would you like to switch? You went in chronological order. Do you want to reverse that?
Smash the hourglass.
I just feel like I don't know. Do I? All right. I swapped last time, so I'm gonna swap again.
Okay. So you're saying you now want Worlds Apart at $10.50 and Thailand at $70.
Yes.
That is correct.
Wow.
Okay. So what have we learned so far? We should apparently always swap.
Yeah, I would not have picked, I gotta say, I wouldn't have picked Ghost Island at 100.
Yeah,
I never would.
I'll be honest, I've not either. Yeah. I was really surprised about that, both when I saw the listing and when you did that. Because yeah, of all, I mean, these are also three less regarded seasons, but I'm very surprised that the Ghost Island merge buff went for $200.
Yeah, that's wild.
Huh.
It's just the one that made the most sense because it was like, is it like really Worlds Apart in Thailand? Because Ghost Island, at least the merge buff also was like part of what I was thinking could be part of the reason. Like, does that make it more valuable if it's the merge buff?
I don't know. I don't know. Because usually I would say that like, I would, if I was personally playing this game, I probably would have put Thailand at the $200 because I think it's like the further away the season was, the less likely it is to be, you know, in print, right?
But that paperweight is like $4, Mike.
I guess so, yeah.
I was going to put Worlds Apart at 10:50. That was my. I was clear on that.
Yeah. Okay.
I just that made sense to me.
Yeah.
But I would have stuck to Thailand as 200. No question.
Good for you. All right. Last one here, Dave, and we're going to paper, as it were. So first item, Survivor TV show, Russell Hance. For some reason, his first name is in quotations, which really nice.
That's how I say his name, too. I always,
8x10 photo. So a not signed 8x10 photo of Russell Hance.
It's just a He's photo on eBay. Of him?
Just a picture of him is on eBay.
What?
An 8x10 picture.
Can I ask who the seller is? Is that?
Oh, yeah. I believe it's a Hustle Rants, I believe is the username. I'm not sure who possibly would do that, but.
Okay.
All right. So an 8x10 of Russell. We have Jenna Maraska signed 3x5 index card, autograph, signature, actress, survivor. So to clarify, this is not a picture. This is an index card like you would use to study math. That is signed by Jenna Maraska.
Okay. A little postcard.
And finally, Survivor Australian Outback sealed box of Upper Deck trading cards, 24 packs. So a bit of background on this. In the first two seasons of Survivor, there was a trading card game where there were trading cards of castaways, of like concepts, of objects. And this is a pack of those trading cards from Survivor the Australian Outback. Again, we have the unsigned photo of Russell Hance. We have the signed index card from Jenna Maraska. And we have a sealed box of trading cards from Survivor the Australian Outback. Your three prices are $569,
$33.75, and $99.95. Mm. Okay. I'm just going to keep saying okay until something happens. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'm just going to go off of the value I put in these things.
Good place to base it in.
For
yeah.
Russell Hance, quote unquote, $569.
Okay.
This isn't true. At least the first one I'm going off of my personal value for these things. For $33.75, playing cards, $99.95, the signed Jenna Maraska index card / postcard, whatever that is.
All right, so I will say that indeed the Russell Hance picture is indeed $569. You have valued that properly. So now you have the Australian Outback trading cards at $33.75 and the Jenna Maraska index card at $99.95. Do you want to switch?
Can you give me any more information about the Jenna Maraska signed index card?
I wish I could. It is literally an index card with her name signed on it. That's it.
There's no picture of her. It's
as if a seventh grader was working on his equations with a trapper keeper, was walking by Jenna Maraska's house and said, I've got nothing for you to sign but this index card. Please, Jenna Maraska, sign my index card.
Okay, I'm going to switch.
All right, so you're saying $33.75 for Jenna and $99.95 for the Australian Outback cards.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yay.
Thank you for your support. I still lost, but I needed that victory.
You never know, listen, the value of celebrity autographs, but evidently I think the index card maybe knocks it down just to see because it is indeed an index card.
When you initially said that, I just thought you meant in my mind, I was like, oh, it's a postcard of her picture and she signed it. And I was like, there's maybe someone was at a signing for something specifically for that. But when you described it as the potential scenario you gave me of someone seeing her with an index card, that maybe devalues it. Not the experience, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely not the experience. Okay, well, maybe for this last one, I'm not going to have you. We'll do a little bit of regular prices work to finish some stuff out, because I have a few like more miscellaneous items, as it were. So I'll give an item. I want you both to write down a price. Whoever's closer ends up getting a point here. Dave, you are down 4-6 at the moment, so there's still some time to catch up. So let's start with this one. It is the holiday season. A Hallmark keepsake Christmas ornament, 2009, outwit, outplay, outlast, survivor, works, in all caps. So we really want to make sure that it is functional. It is a Christmas ornament that has the Survivor logo in it. It has outwit, outplay, outlast. You might have seen this around the holidays. right, where you like press it and it plays like the Survivor theme song.
Sure.
Well, I'm happy you included that. That Liana Delay is
doing
obviously.
The best Santa impression there. Yeah, so you want to figure out the price for this. It does come in its box, so make of that what you will.
And it's sorry, I might have missed this. Is it like an orb ornament, or is it?
No, it's sort of like it's like a flatter sort of, it's in the shape of the logo.
Okay,
so it's like
and it
oblong.
Plays the, okay.
And it plays the theme song, yeah.
All right, ho ho ho. I said $20.
$20 from Liana. Dave.
The smart price is right thing would be just to go a dollar up, but I'll be honest. I said $37.95.
Uh oh.
Dave has it. It is $32 for the Hallmark ornament. I didn't go with closest without going over, just because I like to make things harder on myself. All right. So, yeah. So, yeah, that ornament, you know, I don't know. I don't think that's a steal because that is $32 for an ornament. But hey, if you want to check it out, there it is.
I like that it plays the song. That's the most important part to me.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to buy one and then change the audio to play this part of the podcast. And then
we don't have an opening credit sequence anymore. So like this is the only place you can get the Survivor theme song nowadays.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Got to play your little ornament.
All right, let's go to this one. A Survivor 41 hidden shot in the dark dice prop USA seller. So let me affirm this. This is not an actual shot in the dark dice. This is a recreation of a shot in the dark dice, but it includes a dice. It includes a little wicker bag that has some baubles on it, and it includes a piece of paper that explains what the shot in the dark is.
Official?
Yeah, exactly. Is it CBS official?
It is not CBS official. It's a recreation.
Okay.
No, CBS would not sell shot in the dark dice in their store. I think, actually, you know what? Let's take a second, I guess, while you're formulating stuff to sort of maybe also focus on the fact that, yeah, remember when this is the last time you could play the shot in the dark? Remember they just brought that up casually?
Wow. Yeah. Did you see, someone pointed this out on Reddit, but Nasir's reaction to it was the best part of it, the whole thing. He's basically, as if that's all he'd been thinking about for weeks. But yeah, I mean, I will say this in terms of twist. I didn't hate that one. Of all the twists, if that one came back, I'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I just think that's the one that, and we talked about this before, that you have to think through like the logistics of everything, because the fact that it only got played once, I think makes sense for me because there were so many tribal councils with smaller numbers. Mm-hmm. And Liana, you brought this up before, right? That like your vote gets so valued when you have fewer numbers that I think nobody necessarily wants to play it. So I think it's an interesting idea, and I could see it being played in future seasons, but I think that can only happen if there are larger tribes at the same time, because otherwise if there's like six people, unless you know it's a slam dunk 5-1 vote against you, you're probably not gonna play it because you think something's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right, well,
should I go first out of fairness?
Yeah, Dave, why don't you go first this time?
All right, I'll just say $19.99. That's my.
Oh my god,
$19.99.
I was just gonna stick with $20.
Well, so you can stick with $20. That's fine.
I know they're technically not the same number. All right, so let's see.
All right, so $19.99 versus $20. It goes to Liana here because it is a whopping $40 for the shot in the dark dice.
Is there a way to indicate if someone's bought it and since reviewed it, or is this a one-time?
Yeah, I think. Let's see. I think it's a shop on eBay, so I think they've sold multiple ones of it. Let's see. I believe they have. This might actually be our good friend Outcast Originals, which makes recreations of things. Six available, two have sold for $40.
Oh, okay.
So about to be three.
Make that coin. All right, here's something that is not really Survivor, but claims to be. Rara Survivor Guatemala Tiki Idol.
What?
So I'm going to attach a photo of this.
Yeah,
yes.
That would be important.
Because here's the thing. This is not anything from the show, at least not from what I recall. But it seems like someone is evidently trying to make it seem like it is by creating this prop and putting it here. I'm not sure. I'm going to put this in the chat here. Can either one of you tell me if this is something from Survivor Guatemala?
Okay. It certainly doesn't look like it.
What is that?
I don't know.
What is that?
That could just be from Guatemala. Like, that could just be...
Right, but the interesting thing is...
Does it say Survivor?
It's Rara Survivor Guatemala Tiki Idol. The only thing in the description is very good.
Very good.
I don't disagree. It's very good. Well, you know, what's interesting is that's the first Immunity Idol season, right? Guatemala?
Yep. Yeah.
Though this is not. This is definitely not that.
This is not. This looks like, I don't know. It almost looks like a flute or something.
It looks like it's got an eyeball on it. Like, doesn't that thing look like an eyeball? And then the green thing is like an octopus or something. It's very odd looking.
It is definitely handmade, which I guess helps, you know, like in the sense it looks like it was carved and painted, you know.
I mean, I'm just very good at this idea. I should also mention it is sold. So,
someone bought it.
Someone bought it. Slash,
are you about to show it to us? Right? Were you about to show us in the camera right now that you're
like,
the,
it's me.
Here it is. I've got the Rara Guatemala Idol.
You get to go first, Fiona. Okay.
I'm gonna go with $15.
$15, Dave.
$17.73.
Ooh.
I'm gonna give it to Dave here because the Rara Idol went for $34.99.
Oh, wow. What?
Good for that person. How did you find this?
John. John provides.
Oh.
Thank you, John.
All right.
I think.
Here is the last item.
Oof.
So right now it is 7-6. Liana leads. So either Dave, you can tie this up, or Liana, you can extend your lead here. Survivor Marquesas Zippered Coconut Official Show Merchandise. So, this is a coconut that has the Survivor Marquesas logo on it, but it is bisected, so you can unzip it, unfold it, and keep your little tchotchkes in there.
Does it look like a real coconut that has been modified to add a zipper?
Yes. Let me see if I can get an image here and share it with you all. This is odd. It almost looks like a badly wired coconut bra, in that it is sort of like two cups. It's almost like a case that has a coconut housing around it, so you can hide things within your coconut.
Okay.
It just looks like it closes, but that blue thing is the zipper, so you can zip it open and
close. I see.
Zip it open and close. Yeah, like those that hit fad back in the day Survivor Marquesas aired of unzippering the pant legs from the shorts.
I feel like Wendell could have made this with all of his experience.
I've never heard of this before, and I guess it came up around this time, but wild.
It's not a bad product. Like, it's not, it's just weird. Like, I can't imagine how it was conceived, you know? Like, who said this is what we need to put out there?
Yeah, like, people need to store things within their coconut.
Exactly.
All right, Dave, so it's on you here. How much does the coconut cost?
I'll just go at a solid $28.
$28, okay. Liana.
Okay, I stuck with 15.
Oh.
Dave gets it. It is $35.99.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, has this been purchased as well? Was this also a one-off?
This has yet to be purchased, which I guess the things from actual Survivor have not been ordered, but for some reason, this one has.
Dear Santa.
I don't know why I'm putting things in, like, we have a safe, you know, for our valuables, passports, that type of stuff. I don't know why I'm doing that. I could have been doing the Survivor Marquesas zippered coconut.
Last place a robber would expect.
Well, that's the thing, though, is you could keep so many valuables in there. Like, this could theoretically be the best thing to bring to the island, right? Because aside from the logo, you could hide things in here and people would just think it's a coconut.
Well, then they would try to drink the things in it. So hopefully they...
Nasir chopping it open.
Yeah, exactly. Like in his Catan ways, you know, being like, oh yeah, of course this thing. Let's chop it open.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just found a random tiebreaker here.
Okay.
So let's go back back in the day. So this is going to be one final bidding. 2000 July, TV Guide magazine, Secrets of Survivor.
Oh, man.
Let me read to you the cover here of that TV Guide. So it is a picture. Let's see. So I see the outwit, outplay, outlast flag. It has a picture of Jenna that says the strong and silent type, college student Jenna. Jenna Lewis was not silent at all. Bark but no bite. Rudy, ex-Navy SEAL. And then a picture of Kelly and Sue, warrior women. Kelly, river guide. And Susan, truck driver. And it says, who will win? Who's the best dressed? Who's the most annoying? Enter our tribal council for the inside story.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, this is, let me check the date on this. This is July 8th to 14th. So this is what, 2 months into, yeah, the run of a Survivor 1 took the country by storm. That's making the cover of a TV Guide. We began with a magazine, and so we end with one. How much does this TV Guide cost, Liana?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So I'm going, you know, I'm learning, I'm taking in from my experiences. The Playboy was what, the 374?
74.
So I'm going to say 374.
All right, good number to go with. Dave?
Oh, I valued, it's TV Guide, right? I value mm-hmm. that way higher than...
the Playboy? How dare you?
Twice as high. So I'll say $6.
And 90
Keep
cents.
Keep it interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, $374 versus $6. Congratulations, Dave. $7 is the price yes! of that TV All Guide. Right. So yeah, if we're talking about the hierarchy, a TV Guide is worth nearly twice as much as a Playboy.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah,
talk about that currency amazing. Conversion.
I did used to love TV Guides back in the day. That was, I mean, especially how they were just small little handy things. I love that. I don't know.
Yeah, that was one of these. This was like the really super small one. Right. Now thinking about it, like you could, I don't know how from a journalistic perspective you could actually write anything in these. Like they could barely.
Oh, those interviews
so
were like a page long. That's why I liked them. Exactly. I was like, I'm 10. This is my attention span.
Three questions. So yeah. Congratulations, Dave. You were able to eke one out here, 8-7. Over Liana, it was a close one. We were sweating it out, much like Deshaun, but you were able to win out at the end of the day.
I don't know that I deserved it, but I'm going to accept it anyway, and I'll take it.
Amazing. I love it. Well, thank you both, and hopefully now people have some stuff, some stocking stuffers for what's to come in the future for any gifts. Christmas ornaments, an unsigned photo of Russell Hance, and everything in between.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that one's the top of the list for me. So, yes, get ready, Santa.
Top of the naughty list, more like it. Dave, is there anything else you want to talk about with regards to Survivor 41 before we start wrapping things up?
I mean, I would just reiterate that I think this is really, it really is one of my favorite casts. And I think that, you know, I think I'm actually in the majority here, the thinking that like they've got some things to figure out. And I don't know if they're going to fix them until season 43 in terms of, you know, all these weird twists. But I feel like Survivor is kind of back at a little bit of a high right now. I feel like it dipped there in the mid 30s, and I think we're kind of about to ride a pretty good wave here. So I'm loving Survivor. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. All right, surf's up. Happy to ride this wave.
Peace.
Well, yeah. As we do at the end of every podcast, we give the opportunity for our guests to shout out a charity or a cause. Being able to, you know, highlight something outside of the game. This week was very much about stuff that exists outside of Survivor. Very deservedly so. And so let's continue with that tradition here. Dave, it's on you. What would you like to talk about? What would you like to shout out over the course of this podcast?
So I told you guys ahead of time, I can't specifically donate to a charity as a Washington Post employee. It's a really weird rule, but I looked that up in the time since, and I can still essentially advocate for something that you can donate to.
It's like how you can't play a certain advantage, but you can like give it to someone else to play.
Yes, I'm giving you knowledge is power, and now you can have my knowledge. I don't know. I'm Liana now. I no longer have, I don't know. I'll find the metaphor eventually. Anyway, I would say, you know, there's a few charities you can donate to that I think there's one. It's very easy to remember. It's just called Save the Children. And specifically, my interest, you know, a lot of my family on my wife's side lives in Colombia, is from Colombia. And you can donate specifically to Colombia. And that is near and dear to me. And, you know, any really part of South America or Latin America, especially because especially as it comes to COVID vaccines and just the people that actually want them there. And this has come up a lot this week, too, and a lot of countries that want vaccines but aren't getting them. So I think if you could donate to causes in that realm, that would mean a lot to me. Save the Children kind of is related to that to some extent. And you can, again, donate specifically to Colombia or anywhere in the world. But that would mean a lot to me.
So savethechildren.org. You can check out more information there and make donations. Dave, thank you for shouting that out. And thank you for coming on in general. This has been a really fun time. You know, I know it's been a while since we last done this, but I think between surveys, a lot of stuff has happened to you. But we're happy to have you come back around and submit yourself to all of this survivor seriousness and silliness that happened around this episode.
The honor is all on my side. And I love you guys. I love listening to you. And I just want to thank you, Mike, for being extremely flexible. And like, I kept saying, I don't know when I can do it, but I have to thank you, Mike, because now I have an actual calendar because of you, like an actual, like an adult working calendar. Because yeah, I told you 2 months ago, I was like, I don't know when I can do this. It's because I'm not organized and I like have a lot of different things going on. And I just don't look a week ahead. And so Mike, you have forced me to become an adult. So thank you. In the process of playing these silly games, it's another part of me.
I've often been referred to as podcast puberty. So thank you. Yeah. The pleasure is all mine. So obviously you are creating so much amazing content out there in written form, in audio form, in video form, short form, long form. If you want people to check out what you're doing, how can people find you on all the various channels of the internet?
So most importantly, at least from what I do every day, all the time, the TikTok channel for The Washington Post, and that's just at Washington Post on TikTok. I also have my personal channel at Dave Jorgensen, which I should post to more. But I more and more I'm trying to post the behind the scenes TikToks there. So I like to post, you know, me messing around on a green screen and all the outtakes. People like that a lot on the TikTok there. And then on Twitter, I'm pretty on there all the time. That's how Mike always finds me, at Dave Jorgensen. And I do have an Instagram. It's Dave Takes Pictures. Not to be confused with, I have a fake Instagram account called Dave.Jorgensen. And I just kind of troll there. And a lot of people think that's like, so I'm giving you guys the intel on this is that it is run by me, but I even have friends who are like, is this actually you? And it is actually me. And I've just been using it as a joke for over a year, to supplement. For a while, it was there to supplement TikToks where I would show my Instagram account, and that's the account I would show. And it was me going, quote unquote, crazy, just like, quote unquote, Russell Hans. And that is an account I have, but my actual one is called Dave Takes Pictures. So follow both.
Interesting. So like, what do you mean by trolling, though? Like, what sort of stuff would you post that had people believe you were fake?
So I really just, it basically came about where my Instagram, my actual one that I post too often, was on private for a while. I just kind of wasn't using it. More recently, I was like, oh, I should probably have that on public. But at the time when it was still on private, the publisher for my book was like, hey, you should be promoting this stuff. Can you promote on Instagram? And I was just, and at work, they were saying the same. And I was just kind of like, you know, my sort of immature, annoyed reaction was to make an account that was like intentionally really bad. And so I posted pictures that were like just, you know, blurry and like it looked like I posted it by accident and like one word misspelled captions and like all kinds of just really dumb things. And I'm starting to come clean about it because I had a very good friend of mine who was like, is this you? Or I'm like, I don't know, man, I have no idea. And so I haven't been as active on it lately, but it was really fun to just confuse people and just watch them kind of try to figure it out.
Did you promote the book there?
A little bit. And it's funny because some people that would buy the book would earnestly and really nicely tag me on their stories and they would tag the fake account. And I was like, shoot. So that's when I made my account public because I didn't want to troll people who were like being extremely kind and tagging me. But I also was having a lot of fun with, you know, it's sometimes you got to do jokes for yourself. And this is one of those cases. But now I'm trying to let everyone in on this really dumb, like long con.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, this is you pulling off the mask, right? But like at the same time, you're like, hey, I'm an artist, but you're also wearing the mask at the same time. Like, no, I don't actually look like this. I'm sorry. Yeah. This is a mask.
I'm an apologetic Banksy. Like, I'm sorry. I was bored.
All right. So Liana, what do you have going on?
Well, I don't have any troll Instagram accounts to reveal. So I'll prepare myself for next year when we have Dave back. I can be like, guess what? I've been doing this whole year.
Yes.
But you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, podcasting about The Masked Singer. Puya and I just covered the Group A finale. So we only have two episodes left, the Group B finale and then the overall finale. So, you know, you don't have to watch the show to check out the podcast. It's just a goofy time where we get together and talk about the show sometimes, but mostly just nonsense.
The only show I know that has three finales.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Was the Group A finale, did it have like the energy of a season finale? Like, did they put a lot into it?
Yeah, they put a lot into it. They had duets for the first time. So The contestants had their own individual performance and then they sang with Michael Bolton showed up.
I love that.
That's what I'm saying.
Speaking of troll Instagram, I feel like Michael Bolton now lives that life of like, I'm just gonna do this.
I think it was after the Lonely Island of it all that then he was just like, this is my life now.
Yes.
Now I think Michael Bolton should have a career, much like that song from the Lonely Island of like recapping Survivor season. Should he be doing the Previously On?
Ooh,
I would love that. Yes.
I would be here for
Previously On
episode of Survivor. Yeah, it works.
If that's the way to get it back in, I'll do it. Like I'll pay whatever amount of money needs to happen.
Or the entire Thanksgiving episode recap narrated by Michael Bolton.
There we go.
Yeah, I think that works. So you can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. As I mentioned, you can check out my interview with Liana. She shed a lot of light, not only on her feelings about Xander, but also, you know, why she made this big pivotal move of sort of going towards the Black Alliance at the Merge. Talks about all of her various relationships. Really great conversation with a really great person. So be sure to check that out. In addition to all the stuff going on in post-show recaps, I'm doing Lost, doing the X-Files, started up new coverage, another notch in the podcast belt. The Witcher is a show that is coming up on Netflix in a couple of weeks. And House Bloom, myself and my wife, Angela Bloom, are covering it. Angela is super pumped. So we just did a kickoff show, non-spoilery. If you haven't seen the show and you just want to get like an overall sense as to what's it all about? What is a Witcher? What's the? We give details on both words in the title and more. So be sure to check that out. So next week, I'm Jeff Probst looking in the camera. We're doing things a little different. So I'm going to be on the feedback show, the penultimate feedback show, as I usually am with Rob Cesternino this coming week. It's going to be very exciting. But that's going to have me leaving the B&B for a week. And so, Liana, what's the fill-in process going on here? Open up the box and reveal who's coming in next week.
Yes, it is double date night on the B&B. And my partner, Puya Zambakili, is going to be joining us as the fill-in for Mike, which now sounds weird that I say that out loud. Now he's coming on. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Oh boy, psychologists are listening.
Yeah. And we are having a double date with a wonderful Phil and Jenny who will be coming on to play some games, have some fun. We did this, I think, for the finale of Winners at War.
You did, I remember that's when you did the other survey game where you did what memes are the survivors.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see what we have in store. We'll figure it out. But regardless, it will for sure be a good time.
And Ricardless, that we won't be without Ricard in that episode. So, yeah, very excited to listen to that next week. Liana, Puya, Jenny, and Phil T on the B&B. If you have any game ideas for them, much like John sending in a bunch of fantastic items that may or may not be affiliated with Survivor for the prizes work, you can rhapbnb@gmail.com or hashtag rhapbnb on social media. We are compiling those all as we round the last couple weeks of this season. Thank you all so much for listening. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes. A Wolf from America for his theme song. Hey, if you like what you're listening to and the reality TV wrap-up sphere, why don't you become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast? We're in the first week of December here. That's usually the best time to become a patron because membership usually re-ups at the beginning of every month. So you're really getting your bang for your buck. And really, we're banging a lot over the course of December. There's a lot happening.
No, keep going. The psychologist is like, got a microphone. Yeah, go
exactly.
ahead.
There's survival trivia, not even Trivial Pursuit, with Jordan Kalish going on again this month. And something really fun, Adam Klein is doing a special seminar about being cast in reality TV. So if you are someone who is interested in getting cast on one of these shows and you want to find out tips and tricks as to how to get your foot in the door, Adam's hosting that exclusively with Rob, I believe, this coming week, only to the patrons of RHAP. So if you have the means to do so, become one. You can gift it to somebody else if you want to as part of the holiday season. certainly worth more than an 8x10 unsigned photo of Russell Hance. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with Liana, Puya, Jenny, and Phil T recapping the penultimate episode. I will be with Rob. Hopefully you check that out as well. Should be a fun time. Until then, we'll check you out at your next stage.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.